I'm now talking on After Hours. This is me, Rick Kogan, with Chris Witowski, who Lise Graham says is like the funniest man on the planet. You know what strikes me, Chris, that you and I were once on stage together at that ill-fated venture called Chicago Live, is you know what sort of haunts me for a moment, not to get you depressed, you should be happy, is that, you know, John Belushi and Chris Farley both died at 33. You know that, don't you?
I mean, I do know that.
Were you aware of that last year when you were 33? I mean, that's like a spooky kind of Second City legacy to have, you know, the cloud in the air, you know?
When one was down the street at the Hancock and the other one was at the Chateau Marmont in L.A. Yes, it is.
Yes, and you're splitting your time between Chicago and L.A. Chris is a sort of now quite successful alum of the Second City. You started taking classes there when you were 13?
I did. Grew up with my dad, a huge comedy fan, watching Animal House, Ghostbusters, staying up for SNL. And I didn't realize at the time, growing up in St. Charles, Illinois, that Second City existed. And so my dad takes me there at 13, and I look around at all the photos on the wall.
Did he take you to a show there or just take you inside?
To a show in the title.
That's a nice dad. No 13-year-old should be seeing shows in Second City. That's a nice father.
The title of the show, which is still my favorite title of all time, was Slaughterhouse 5. Cattle zero.
And but at 13, that's some you were sort of hooked.
I was hooked. I walked in, and it was the pictures on the wall that really sold
it.
Bill Murray started here. John Belushi started here.
Yeah. But that's all you knew. You liked the show.
Loved the show.
You saw these famous faces.
Yes.
Your parents were fans of comedy, and you somehow were able to convince your dad to let you take classes.
He signed me up, like, the next day.
I should actually be interviewing your dad. It's like, what's wrong with you? What did your dad do for a living?
Ray Witowski is an attorney at law.
Okay.
And he's about...
Now that makes sense, and he's sort of crazy.
Yeah. It's... And he is the only attorney in a small town outside of St. Charles, Hampshire, Illinois.
I know Hampshire.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah. He might not be the only attorney now, but he was at a time the only attorney in town.
That's a nice thing to take a young teenager to Second City and have him take classes and have him kind of explore his creativity. When you get older and when you, because I've known a lot of guys who have done it and women, when you think to yourself and decide to yourself and have to tell your parents, hey, Mom and Dad, I don't think I'm going to be a lawyer. I don't think I'm going to be a doctor. I think I want to be a comedian.
Yes. They couldn't have been more supportive. Couldn't have been more supportive.
Wow.
And I consider myself lucky in that regard because I think a lot of parents aren't as supportive.
A lot of parents would lock you in a basement. Are you kidding? When did you make that decision and why? I mean, taking classes at Second City is one thing.
Right.
Thousand. It's like every kid, you know, playing high school basketball somehow in the back of their mind thinks, well, yes, I can play for the NBA. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Tell me about from the time you're 13 on, you're exploring in formal ways at Second City.
Right.
Your comedic side.
Sure. I think... It was the first thing that I really was like, oh, I'm good at this. And I wasn't a great...
Were you good at it?
No,
I'm serious.
Question.
Were you good at
it? I was good at it, yes.
Meaning what?
Meaning I learned everything I could. I just, right away, I was, this is what really excites me and interests me.
You were so passionate.
Yeah. I read everything I can get my hands on. And, you know, it started at Second City, but then it was the I.O. Theater and reading Del Close and learning about all the history. And it just really fit my personality. And I felt like I was good at it.
Did you perform at I.O.?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You know Sharna?
Oh, I know Sharna. I saw her last night.
Yeah. But you know, when did that new complex open? When's the first time you saw the new I.O. complex?
Huge. Over
it's ridiculous.
On Weed Street.
Yeah,
yes.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It feels like a liberal arts college now, like a nice liberal arts college.
With bar, with drinks. Yes. The perfect liberal arts college. So you throughout high school, you're still taking Second City classes?
Still taking Second City. Dad's driving me in from St. Charles, dropping me off. He's going to see a movie or, you know, bumming around. Now, he grew up in Chicago, too. I should mention that. He grew up on Lincoln and Foster. He went to Notre Dame High School for boys.
Gotcha.
And so I think it was also really cool for him because he was bringing the kid into the city, and I was learning about Chicago.
You have brothers and sisters?
Just one sister.
What does she do?
She was working for my manager, Bob Odenkirk's wife, Naomi Odenkirk, in L.A., at the front desk at the office there.
How did you, Bob Odenkirk, who has arguably fashioned as good a recent career as a Second City alum as anybody in the world,
yes.
How did you get to know Bob?
Bob's wife, as I just said, is a talent manager.
Right.
And she does the smartest thing in the world where at least twice a year she flies to Chicago and she just sees as many shows as she can. And
interesting.
Why more managers don't do that, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because Chicago is an embarrassment of riches.
Does she just handle comedic things, or is it straight actors?
Comedic, yes. Uh-huh. So she's been the manager for Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and Bob, and she has quite the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of Bob when you met him? You must have heard of him. I mean, you must have seen him. You must have known him.
So early on for me, it was Ghostbusters and Animal House and SNL. But then right around college, I discovered Mr. Show, which was his big thing.
Sure.
And it's like a cult classic. I mean, like, it's kind of a secret handshake in the comedy world, Mr. Show.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
And I just connected to that big time.
So you, in essence, then, if we look at this as kind of generational things, there's the, you know, you go back in Chicago to Nichols and May and Avery Schreiber, and then you go to the Compass Players, and then you go to Second City, and then you hit the Herald, Billy, Aykroyd, that whole crowd. Then there's the Odenkirk generation.
Correct.
Do you consider yourself part of the next generation? You know, I'm thinking, you know, guys like T.J. Shanoff.
Sure.
Jimmy Carlson, just
name. You know, I wonder, I'm 34, so I think I could be that next generation or even one more.
yeah, I think so, too. And do you see, you know, the distinct differences in the way the business has changed, for God's sake? I mean, that may be the biggest thing. I think for someone like you, there are a number of new outlets.
Crazy.
You have a podcast, too, or a radio show,
I do. In L.A., I host a monthly interview show at the UCB Theater, which is the cool theater in L.A., and that's Amy Poehler's theater that they started in Chicago, and now in New York and L.A.
Sure.
So once a month, I sit down with my comedy heroes and interview them, and I've had Fred Willard, I've had Bob Odenkirk, I've had Andy Richter, Lorraine Newman from the original SNL cast, Kevin Nealon,
That's a interesting kind of being with your kind of heroes kind of thing. What's the purpose of it? What are you trying to get out of these people? I mean, are you trying to get the secret? There is no secret to comedy. I will tell you this now after covering it for all these years. They're not
going
to give you a secret.
There is no secret.
They're all kinds of different people, you know.
Yes. I think that it, you know, I heard someone put it like you sit down and you kind of compare notes. But for me, I'm interviewing these people who have a lot longer lists of notes.
Yeah, big notebooks, man.
big notebooks,
yeah.
And so just to hear what they went through and the highs and the lows and the, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, that guy was just famous right away. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
It took 15 years, you know. It took 20 years before they even, you know, got their name heard or got an opportunity.
You have had since you let's take a break. I want to pursue this. I want to find out how the George Wendt roast was yesterday. And did you perform?
I did.
Did you roast?
Me and, do you know Katie Rich?
Yes.
Yes, me
yes.
and her.
The sad thing is because of this Chicago Live, I like know everybody at Second City. I used to review them. I used to play pool with Harold Ramis, and now I'm like, and Lise Graham knows all of these people. Are you thrilled to have him in here? She is. She goes, I'm so nervous. I only talk to him on the phone. He's nicer in person, isn't he?
This kid's got a bright future, by the way.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question. She is doing Lise FM, which is a podcast that delves into what are the creative influences of creative people or so-called creative people. She's interviewed Chris on the show, and she's interviewed me. And next up will be Chris's college friend who's sitting in the studio.
Mitch Ridner, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get him
to talk and say, really, is he still friends with you? Does he, does he let you sleep on his couch in L.A.? We'll be back on After Hours in a couple minutes. You can go to Chris Witsaki's website, chriswitaske.com, to learn about his monthly podcast, broadcast, exploration of comic gods, and all of his other television work. You've done well in 3 years in L.A., wouldn't you say, Chris?
Thank you.
Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's a leap to go out there. I mean, you have friends, and I'm from Second City. It may not have the clout it used to have.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Of course it doesn't. Right. But you've done well.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, the thing with Second City is now anybody who takes a class there puts it on their resume.
Exactly. No kidding.
So it's like, you know, everybody's got Second City on their resume nowadays. And it's like, no. You're not a Second City alumni.
Yeah.
I worked my butt off to get that title.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding. So George Wendt is a certifiable Second City alumni, and there was a roast for him last night. And I've known George for a long time, too. And I'm like, thinking to myself, how do you roast like the world's nicest guy? How did that go last night?
It went surprisingly well. It went well for the first 2 hours. And then once we got into hour three, it started going off the rails a little
bit. Yeah, when you got people up there like, well, I don't really know George, but I hear he's a jerk. Kazurinsky may have been funny. Kazurinsky's known him for a long time,
yes.
And they were in a play together, for goodness
sake. That's right. He talked about it. He was the first roast.
That's right.
He was very funny. And then Odenkirk was very funny. Jason Sudeikis hosted it, who's actually George's nephew.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Jason was very funny.
And it raised a lot of money for a good cause.
It did, for Gilda's Club Chicago.
Yeah,
yes.
When everybody knows and remembers Gilda. What's next for you? I mean, what you're out there, you've made a very, very, I think, good landing in L.A. because you're working in L.A. What do you aspire to? I mean, the world of comedy and there are many more outlets now. I mean, there are many, you know, Netflix is making shows, Amazon, everybody's making shows. How do you, I know it's difficult to be a humorist and careerist, but you're an actor, writer, and performer, which I think is a great trifecta.
Yes, multi-hyphenated.
Yes.
And that's the best thing to be these days.
I agree.
Yes. And I'm on a Netflix show, like you just said. So you know, Netflix, which, what was it, 5 years ago when they were mailing people DVDs?
Oh, right.
And now they're this monster. So I'm on an original Netflix series that this guy, Judd Apatow, who's the biggest comedy producer in town, it's his show. And
how'd you get cast in that? I mean, obviously, you auditioned. You didn't just say, well, I like this guy's name or something. Or, oh, well, another Second City guy. I've got to have him.
So where Naomi Odenkirk is the smartest manager because she flies to Chicago, Allison Jones is the smartest casting director because she also flies to Chicago and sees Second City shows.
Wow.
And she casts all the best stuff in L.A.
And she had seen you in Second City
shows?
Correct.
She had saw me on the ETC stage.
And she jotted your name down in some secret book that they all carry out in L.A.
Correct. And she said this guy would play a funny, dumb neighbor, which is what I'm playing. I'm playing the main guy's best friend on this show, Love, on Netflix.
What's the gist of the show?
Gist of the show is it's a dark romantic comedy where instead of, if you were watching a romantic comedy feature film, you would, you know, have the meet cute. And then there would be a montage, and all of a sudden it's 2 years later. Well, with Love, we're following a relationship in real time.
Oh, interesting.
So you see the first date, you see the second date, and so it really builds. And because it's a television show, it has the time to do that.
Yeah. How many episodes have you filmed?
So we just wrapped filming season three. And for the first two seasons, I was what they call a recurring guest star.
Yeah.
And then for season three, they bumped me up to series regular.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
you know, I don't feel embarrassed that I haven't seen it because I was interviewing, seriously, I was interviewing, I used to be the TV critic at the Tribune, but I was interviewing Norman Lear, the legendary Norman Lear, about a year ago, and I was saying, you know, idiotically, I said, you know, Mr. Lear, do you find anything you like on television? I'm expecting, I'm predisposed for him to say, no, nothing's been good since My Shawl and the Family. But he was remarkable. He said, you know what, Rick, there is too much good on television. I simply don't have time to watch everything that's good. You've got to be pretty discriminating these days.
You really do. It's a golden age, I think, of television right now.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. So what's your family think now? What's your dad think? Your dad coming out to L.A. all the time going, hey, show me the sights. No offense. I'm sure you're a great lawyer. I'm sure you're a great lawyer.
He's a fantastic lawyer. Yeah. L.A. is a weird place, and I think when my parents visit, they might as well be on the moon because it's just so different than Chicago. It's so spread out and weird, and you know. It's,
I know.
Yeah,
and it inhibits friendships because you can't even, you know. It's not like walking across the street from Second City to the Ale House.
Right.
It's like you got to drive somewhere.
You got to drive somewhere. You got to make plans. And
where do you live in L.A.?
Follow through.
Not to be too specific.
No, it's called Toluca Lake. It's
sure, I know.
Yeah. So it's right by the Warner Brothers studio, and it's a cool little neighborhood. My neighbors are Steve Carell. Melissa McCarthy's right down the street.
Wow.
It's cool. The Bob Hope Estate.
I'm assuming you live in one of the smaller homes. given those people and the Bob Hope Estate, I'm assuming you live in a sort of smaller home.
Two-bedroom apartment. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
But
how often do you get back here?
I try to come back. Well, so I was back. I'll tell you, talking about a proud father, I was back here, what was it, a month ago? A month ago to throw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field. And talk about proud dad. Right before I went to the mound, I turned to Max Berman, who works for the Cubs, and he was the liaison that day. And I said, Max, can I bring my dad out with me? And Max said, I'm not allowed to say yes, but I won't say no. And so right before they announced my name, I turned to my dad and I said, you're coming with me. You're my pitching coach. And so out we ran to the mound. Ray Witoski standing behind me. Strike. Was it a strike?
We're still trying to
right down the middle. Right down the middle. Painted the corner. No bounce. And it was great. It was great. Gave Dad a high five. Ran back. Very
you,
cool.
Chris, are a great, great, great son. I am going to. We have a bunch of mutual friends. You got to say hello to them all for me out there. And I'm going to now follow your career, and thank you to Lise Graham. Lise goes, this guy is funny, and I think he's not just funny, he's like a nice guy. So 20 years from now, they'll be doing a roast for him, and I'll be saying, oh, what bad is to say? You, my young friend from a college roommate.
Mitch Ridner
will have all the lovely dirt on you. Chris, it's really a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. This was an honor.
I'll get into your whole career now. And give Bob my best. See if he remembers.
I will. He did a great job singing the stretch today. Bob did.
He does a great job doing everything. That's one of the weird things about Bob. He's good.